Rashid Mustafa, who's the Imam of Al Rashid Masjid. Again, we apologize for the delay, but we'll start with our presentation. So, Brother Rashid Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So genuine ibadah is the acts of worship that come from your heart. You do them purely for the sake of Allah. You follow the example of the Prophet ﷺ, and they have an impact in your life. So if you pray, prayer teaches you sincerity. If you fast, fasting teaches you patience, for example, and so on and so forth. But what is the point if you pray and you lie? You fast in the month of Ramadan and you cheat. So in this case, this is what I like to call mechanical ibadah. It's not coming from your heart, and it doesn't have an impact on your life. If you look at the different acts of worship in Islam to see whether they are genuine or mechanical, just look at yourself and the way you do ibadah. If your ibadah is not coming from your heart, if you feel like you are doing ibadah routinely, you fast in Ramadan just because other people fast. You pray and you go to the masjid to pray because your friends go. It is not because of you, it is because you are following other people. So this is what we call mechanical ibadah. That doesn't have an impact on your life. So in this case, if your salah is mechanical, then your salah is nothing more than yoga. You know yoga when people do this? It's yoga, it is not salah. When you fast in the month of Ramadan mechanically, and you don't learn anything from fasting, so the only thing you do is you don't eat or drink, and you sleep the whole day, so this is not fasting. This is what I like to call hibernation. You know what bears do in the winter? This is what they do. They don't eat or drink, they just fall asleep, hibernate. Or when people go and diet. Your zakah, if it is done mechanically, then it is nothing more than your GST tax, another tax you pay. Also, your Hajj, if it is done mechanically, you go to Mecca and Medina to go to Mecca for the Hajj, so people will call you Hajji, and this is the only reason you did it, then your Hajj is nothing more than physical exercise or jogging around the beach, okay? So, this is mechanical worship. So again, genuine worship has to come from your heart. You do it purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has an impact on your life. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ. Genuine ibadah will keep you away from evil and indecency. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. We will define salah and why it is important in Islam, then we'll talk about the mistakes. Number one, you probably heard before that salah comes from the root word wasala, which is a link. So salah is a sila, is a link between you and Allah. If you like to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you pray. Okay? Open communication between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are given this honor 5 times a day. You can even talk to Allah more than 5 times a day if you want to pray at night or optional prayers. Why is the salah so important? I'm going to give you a few points, then we'll move on to the mistakes. Number one, say for example, after we die, you have been dead for 100,000 years, then you wake up, you open your eyes. As soon as you wake up your eyes, the first question you'll get is not your name, the first question is, Did you pray? So the Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, the first question that you will get on the Day of Judgment is your salah, whether you prayed or not. So if you prayed, everything else will be a piece of cake. If you haven't prayed in this dunya, then you will be in a miserable situation. And the only one is to blame is yourself. So if the salah is the first question you will get, it means that it is the most important thing in this life. Otherwise, Allah would be asking about something else. The second thing is, the last words that came out of the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ before he passed away was, pray, establish the prayer. If there was anything more important in Islam than the Salah, then the Prophet ﷺ would have chosen to seal his life and seal his message with that thing. But he chose to finish his life or seal his life by reminding us about Salah. It means it is very, very important. Number three, if someone doesn't pray, we know that the scholars of Islam say if someone prays, like you go to the masjid, the jama'ah, and pray, for every good deed you do in Islam, like fasting and prayers and charity, anything else, if you get 100 rewards for every good deed you do, the Prophet ﷺ is getting 100 rewards. Because he is the one who conveyed the message and he taught us how to pray and fast and do the different things. So for every good deed you do, the Prophet ﷺ will get a similar reward like yours. So in this case, if you don't pray and you deprive yourself of the reward, you are also preventing the reward from the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? So you have to be mindful of this. And this is not the way to show gratitude to the Prophet ﷺ for conveying the message, traveling thousands of miles, being persecuted for so many years, and some of his Sahaba, they got killed trying to convey the message to us. And all we do is just, you sit down and play games or watch movies, and the salah is over and you don't even pray. This is not the way to appreciate the hardships and the pain and the difficulties that the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ have been through to convey the message to us. Also, we know that Salah is the only act of worship that was given to the Prophet ﷺ in the heavens, in Jannah. Anything else, fasting, Hajj, Zakat, everything was conveyed to the Prophet ﷺ through Jibreel alayhi salam while the Prophet was in his house. But in this particular case, the Prophet ﷺ was taken all the way to the seventh heaven to get the order to pray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And I like to give this example. Say for example, I work for Adam Nashman and I live in Toronto. So for example, if he wants me to do something, he would just send me an email or send me a fax, do this and this. If it's something more important than average things that I usually do, then he will give me a call. If it is something very, very important, he would either come to me by himself or he will ask me to take the first flight and go to him in Edmonton. Okay, wherever you are now. So this is what happened in the case of Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send Jibreel to the Prophet to order him to pray. No, he brought the Prophet all the way from Mecca to the heavens to give the order to pray. Everybody knows that the first order to pray came with 50 salat. So we were supposed to pray 50 times a day, not 5. Okay? In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was coming down with the order to pray 50 times. Then he came across who? Was it Musa? Okay. We give a candy for every correct answer. He came across Musa alayhi salam and he said, you know, what order did you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Prophet ﷺ said, I got the order to pray 50 times a day. So Musa ﷺ said, 50 prayers a day? What? My people, from my own experience, the children of Israel got the order to pray 3 times a day, and most of them didn't even pray. What are you talking about? 50 prayers. It's not going to work. And he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he spoke, and at the end of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to pray 5 times a day, and if you pray 5, you will get the reward of 50. So if you pray 5 times a day will be the reward of praying 50 times a day. We are told in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that the closest you can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you pray. When you put your face on the ground and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the closest you get to Him. Which means, if you have a dua, if you have a prayer, and you want it to be accepted, now this is the best time to make your prayer or make your dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. The next point, salah is the only act of worship that is not waived. There are a couple of situations, especially for women, if they have their monthly thing or they just gave birth to a baby, they don't have to pray. And even after they get back to normal, they don't have to make up the prayer. But for men, for example, or the other ladies, or at other times, there are no waivers for salah. So we are told, for example, if someone has a back problem, they can't pray sitting down. If they can, they can lie on their side. If they can, they can just pray with their necks. If they can, they can just pray with their eyes. You close your eyes halfway, this is ruku', all the way down, this is sujood. Some of the scholars say even, for example, if you are run over by a truck, you are cast from hip to toe, you can't move a muscle, you pray in your heart. You close your heart halfway, this is ruku', all the way down, this is sujood. Anyway, there's no waiver for the salah. Salah is a way to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has given you, for the different organs you have. You know, about 4 years ago, one of my friends in Egypt, his dad had to do a liver transplant. And that cost him, if I remember correctly, about $200,000. So, and they had to sell their cars and everything. They were broke, and their dad passed away a month later after the surgery. So this is one organ in your body. Now we're talking about your kidney, $100,000, your heart, $500,000, your eyes, your feet, your nose, everything you have. And everything you have in your body is worth millions of dollars, and you are not even willing to say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not asking you to write him a check. All he's asking you is just to say thank you. And some people are not willing to say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read in the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he used to pray at night so much so that his feet would get swollen. And Aisha radiallahu anha would say, "Oh Prophet of Allah, you don't have to do this, everything is forgiven." He would say, "Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah?" So he was praying to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, what about the person who doesn't pray? Okay, I'm going to give you a very small analogy, and I'll give you a count if you get this one right. You read in the Quran that the shaitan, the devil, refused to make sujood to Adam alayhi salam. Now, the question is, what if the shaitan was asked to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would he have prayed?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. If the shaitan was asked to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have refused. Right or wrong?
Right.
Okay. The shaitan was asked to pray to Adam, make sujood, and he refused. Because of the arrogance, he was created from mud, and I was created from fire, and you know the story. But if he had been asked to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have refused. Now, the person who doesn't pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to pray 5 times a day, and he refuses. The shaitan will refuse, but the person who doesn't pray refuses. Which one is better? Technically. The shaitan or the guy who doesn't pray? Okay, thanks. You read in the Quran about the punishment for the people who neglect their salah. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. In Surah Al-Ma'un it says that the people who neglect their prayers will go to this valley in the hellfire. فخلف من بعضهم خلف قضاء الصلاة واتبع الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا. The people who neglect their salah will go to this valley in the hellfire called غيا. And the scholars say, the verses are not talking about the people who don't pray. The verses are talking about the people who delay the salah until the time is over. So you have to be careful about this. It is not talking about the people who don't pray at all. It is talking about the people who delay the salah. So what about the people who don't pray at all? A more terrible punishment in Saqar. And Saqar is in the basement of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the people in the basement of the hellfire. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. So the people in the basement of the hellfire in Saqar, which is the worst place, and Allah, or where they have been asked, why are you here in the bottom or the basement of the hellfire? They say, number one, we didn't pray. So two different punishments. Here is an authentic hadith in Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in the masjid, and this guy, one of the Sahaba, he came in, we don't know his name, and he prayed two rak'ahs, and he prayed faster than light. You know what faster than light is? Very fast. And we see this all the time. So the Prophet ﷺ told him to go back and pray because you haven't prayed. Mechanical prayer. He went back and he prayed, and he came back to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him, go back and pray because you haven't prayed. For the third time, he went and prayed, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, you haven't prayed genuinely, you pray mechanically, go back and pray. So the man said, after the third trial, O Prophet of Allah, by the one who sent you with the truth, I can't do any better than this. This is the best I can do. Teach me. Now the Prophet ﷺ started to teach him. When you stand up, stand with humility and focus, you make ruku and sujood do like this, and the Prophet ﷺ taught him till the end of the hadith. There's a guy, a famous singer, I don't listen to music, but there's this guy, his name is James Brown. How many of you have heard of James Brown? Very famous, back in the 1970s. Two of his most famous songs are I Feel Good, and the other one is I Got Ants in My Pants. Okay? And these two songs apply very much to the people when they pray. Because here's the thing, when you watch a boring movie like Gone with the Wind or a boring hockey game, okay, for 2-3 hours, you never blink. But as soon as that you stand on that carpet to pray for 3 minutes, you start yawning, looking outside the window, looking at your watch, scratching your head, digging in your nose, something bad happens. So, when you are watching the boring movie, you feel good. But when you pray, I got ants in my pants, I can't pray. And imagine if you're standing before your boss or the principal at the school, and they're talking to you about something very serious, and you're not paying attention or looking outside the window or thinking about something else. I think the least they can do is to throw you out of the window, okay? What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 2 minutes to pray, and you're not giving Him your full attention, right? And this is not the proper respect. If you're standing in front of the Queen of England or the King of England, okay? You pay the proper attention, mashallah, you're ready to get their autograph and take pictures with them, but you are standing before the King of all kings, and you are scratching your head and digging in your nose. What is this, man? Come on. This is not the proper way to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plus, how much time does it take you to pray? 3 up to 5 minutes? And Allah gave you 24 hours a day, and all He is asking from you is 5 times by 4 minutes, that's 24 minutes. 24 minutes in the 24 hours. So technically, you have 23 and a half hours a day for yourself and half an hour for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even less than half an hour. And some people are not willing to give that much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our biggest problem when we pray is to keep our focus in the salah. Most of us, we lose our focus. Because as soon as you start to pray, you start to think about damn bills, you start to think about your boss, you start to think about your wife and your kids and how miserable your life is, and your wife made your life a living hell. So you start to think about all that stuff when you pray, right? Outside the salah, no yawning, no thinking about this stuff, no thinking about vacations to Los Angeles, nothing. All these ideas, they come to you as soon as you start on the, you stand on the curb. The Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, Sahih al-Jami', that you get the reward in salah according to the time you focus in the salah. If you focus half of the time, you get half of the reward. 90% of the time, you get 90% of the reward. If you focus zero of the time, then zero reward. This is what the hadith says. What you need to do before the salah is to prepare yourself for the next salah. So say for example, we just finished Salatul Dhuhr. You hope in your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you life till the next salah and you come and pray. And the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, if this is what you do, if this is your intention, you will get the time between Dhuhr and Asr as if you stood in salah the whole time. You'll get the reward. The counter is going on between the two salat. And of course, khushu' in salah begins with wudu. Okay. You have to do wudu properly. Every time the Prophet ﷺ talks about khushu' in the salah, he talks before about wudu and doing wudu properly. Some people, they just delay because they have work and everything. And before the salah, they come in the last minute, they go to the bathroom, they urinate standing up, and they paint the whole thing in yellow. We go to the washrooms and we see everything. Then they go and wash and quickly, and they forget half of the organs. They wash one hand and they forget the other. You see? They wash 3 feet and they forget the fourth foot. Does anyone have 4 feet? No. Number two, khushu' in the salah, when you start, this is what we do at the beginning, and this is the wisdom time. When you raise your hands up like this, it's symbolic of throwing the world behind your back. Everything is behind you. Now you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. There is this guy, his name is Hatim al-Asam, and they asked him, subhanAllah, you pray so beautifully with khushu' and humility and focus, how do you maintain the khushu' and the salah? He said, when I stand in the carpet, I imagine that the Kaaba is in front of me, and I imagine that the world is behind me, the Jannah to my right and the Hellfire to my left, and the Sirat, the bridge between the Hellfire and Jannah is under my feet, and the angel of death is over my head, ready to take my soul. And after I pray, I'm not sure if my salah is accepted or thrown back on my face. So this is how he maintains khushu' in the salah. He's not like the other guy that I told you about before, who was standing in the masjid and mashallah, there are two guys sitting behind him, and he was praying slowly and nicely. So the guy said, mashallah, look at him, he prays so beautifully. So the guy is standing like this, and he looked at them, and you know what, I'm fasting too. Not only I'm praying nicely, but I'm fasting too, in case you don't know. Of course, after you finish the salah, if you have time, you can pray the sunnah, the optional prayers. And the reason the Prophet ﷺ is, because if you make a mistake in the obligatory salah, or if it is not accepted for any reason, then Allah will make up for the obligatory salah through the optional salah you do. And don't listen to the shaitan. Don't listen to the shaitan. What the shaitan does basically, he will come to you all the time. When you start the salah, he will, you know, in the first rak'ah, you start thinking about whether I made wudu or no. Okay, I'm sure I made wudu, but I still have wudu or no? Did I recite Fatiha in my salah or no? How many rak'ahs have I prayed? All the salah you're talking about, your salah is messed up. Shaitan, if you have the intention to make salah, shaitan can never prevent you from praying. But what the shaitan does, basically, shaitan will let you pray, but he will mess up your salah. So you will lose all your rewards. Then the shaitan will come to you after the salah and say, you know what, man, You took all your time, you made wudu and it's very cold, you woke up at night, you didn't get enough sleep, now you prayed, you didn't focus for a single second in the salah, you are not getting any reward. Why are you praying anyway? You're wasting your time. My advice to you, because I love you so much, you're like a brother to me from another mother, what you can do, you stop praying for now, go to, you know, take a course, you know, on how to make salah. 6 months, get some training, go to the shaykh and it'll teach you how to pray. Then, inshallah, when you master salah, very good, now you can pray. Don't listen to the shaytan. Pray in any way you can, then, inshallah, try to improve. They say in Arabic, a living mouse is better than a dead lion. A living mouse is better than a dead lion. So at least pray and try to improve. Now, inshallah, we'll show you some pictures. If you spot the mistake in the slide, then we'll give you a candy. About this guy. Yes? What? How? Someone to help me with the candy. Okay, the guy is looking at the sky. If this is what you do, you will lose your focus in the salah. Because if this happens, you look at the fan in the house and it's turning, lose your focus. Or if you look at the sky, there are planes and birds and stuff, you lose your focus. If you look at the wall like this, and you have a picture of your wife or your husband on the wall, now you start to think about your miserable life, and why on earth did I marry this man or this lady, then you will lose your focus in the salah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, what you need to do is to look at the place where you make sujood. And this is the best way to maintain khushu' in the salah. Sometimes when I finish the salah in the masjid, and I give a short talk, then as I start to leave, people stand up to pray sunnah. And sometimes, there is this one guy, you know, he's standing like this, and he's doing like this, and I thought he was standing there to shake my hand, or he has a question for me, and the guy is praying, and he's staring at people, and he's moving his head like, come on, man. Come on. If you are not able to maintain your khushu', because they say if your attention is distracted very easily, then there's no problem if you close your eyes. There's nothing wrong with closing your eyes in the salah. If you can maintain your khushu' while opening your eyes, fine. If you can't, then you can close your eyes. How about this guy? What are you telling me? Yes.
Watching the game.
Yeah, watching the game. Okay. Okay. Some of the guys, they are lazy. They don't want to go to the masjid and pray. They want to pray in the house because there is a game, because there is a soccer game or a hockey game. So what they do basically, they pray and watch the players play at the same time. So every time there is an out or a foul or something, you feel like they're doing like this in the salah. Ouch! If there's a goal, in the salah. They can't focus. All you need to do is turn it off, 3 minutes, pray. You don't have to recite the longest surah in the book. All you need to do is Fatiha, Qul Allah, thanks for coming, then go back to the game. What about this guy? Yes, exactly. You shouldn't say your intention out loud. The intention is in the heart. Okay, how? Okay, say for example you wake up at Fajr, 4:30 in the morning. You go and you make wudu, you change your clothes, you take your car keys, take your car, go to the masjid, enter the masjid. All this is an intention. You don't do all that stuff to go to the masjid to watch a movie, okay? You're coming to make salah. The same is also true for fasting in the month of Ramadan, okay? You woke up before Fajr, you make some couscous or some hummus or matluba or chicken sukkar, beef sukkar, cake, all that stuff. You don't do this to give it to your neighbors. You do this to eat for sahur. So this by itself is an intention and you don't have to say it out loud. Keep it in your heart.
About this guy.
Yes.
He's looking around.
He's what?
He's looking around.
No.
Oh, he's in the washroom.
Yes, exactly. We are told in the hadith, if you are hungry and it is time for salah, what should you do first? Eat first. If so, my brothers, come on. If you can't hold it anymore, and you can't focus in the salah, then go and make wudu or relieve yourself and come back for the salah. Otherwise, you will not focus for a single second in the salah. Okay? So it is better to free yourself of any need before you come to the salah and pray. If you are hungry, I know a lot of people, including myself, if I'm hungry, I can't focus. Okay? So imagine if I'm standing behind the imam in the salah and he's talking about Jannah, he's talking about them birds and beef, sukkar and all the beautiful food in Jannah and all the fruits. He's reciting all these verses and I'm hungry behind him. Of course I'm going to be thinking about all that stuff, okay? So eat first before you come and pray. How about this one? Yes.
Doing yoga.
The yoga? Okay. You have to do ruku'ah in a certain way. Some people do ruku'ah like this, some people do ruku'ah like this, some people do it like this. The best way to do it is to imagine that your expensive iMac. You put this iMac or iPad on your back when you pray. If you kneel down more than